Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's November the 13th, 2006. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel of Grainfield Marketing out of Normal, Illinois. And later in this half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons right here in Champaign County. Well, in agricultural news, South Korea thinks it might need to inspect all U.S. beef imports for health concern reasons. And Japan has confirmed its 30th case of mad cow disease. Dave Dickey will have details of these and other stories later in the half hour. And I'll deliver some good news about soil conservation in the state of Illinois. Oh, and don't forget that at the bottom of the hour, we always check the agricultural weather forecast with Midwest and around the globe. Today, the folks at Chesapeake Energy will join us for that discussion. It all happens on this Monday edition of WILL AM 580's Closing Market Report.
Did you miss the Closing Market Report or some of our other agricultural programming? We've got the answer. You can get all our AM 580 agricultural shows delivered daily directly to your computer. Just go to our website, WILOAG.org, and look for the headline, subscribe to AM 580 Ag Podcast. Follow the simple steps, and you'll never miss an ag broadcast again. From the pre-opening and opening ag reports to the closing market report to Commodity Week, all delivered to your computer when you need it. Head on over to WILOAG.org and put the AM 580 Agricultural Podcasts to work for you.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming on AM 580 as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at agrigold.com.
In Chicago on this Monday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. December wheat at $4.77. They were off 3.5 cents today. The March futures at $4.98¾, down 2¼. December corn futures $3.42½, off 3/4. The March contract down a penny at $3.58½. And May futures at $3.62¾ were down 2½ cents. July 367½, off 2½ of the day. November beans 646½, down 4¾. January's at 657½. They were down a nickel today. And the March contract at 669¼, down 5¼. November contract for next year at 696¼, off 3 cents. December bean meal futures 191.80, down 370. December bean oil at 27.99. They're up 30 for the day. Feeder cattle over at the Mercantile Exchange, a dollar lower in the nearby November contract at $97.80 a hundredweight. December live cattle at $85.75, off rather up a nickel. And the February's were up a dime at $88.85. Lean hog futures December contract $61.22½, off $1.75 for the afternoon. December crude oil futures in the outside markets $58.60 a barrel. They're down 99 cents. The CRB at $3.08, off $2.70 for the day, and the dollar at 85.37, up 28. The CRB at 274, lower that is. And the Dow Jones Industrial Average at 12,135 is down 26 points at this hour.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us now to take a look at the Chicago Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange numbers, as he does every Monday afternoon, Kurt Kimmel of Grainfield Marketing in Normal. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
We haven't had the opportunity to talk to you for a week, and in that ensuing week, we made new contract highs, had a USDA report come out. And prior to that, we began a fall off in the corn pit. Overnight, we had a little uptrend, but that didn't follow through today. Your assessment of the last week's trade and what happened today?
Well, basically, the market went higher into the report with the idea that corn production could be a little lower, which the USDA did confirm. But they left the carryout, moved it just a little higher, in fact. In their eyes, they cut back on feed consumption and exports with the idea that we could be rationing the supply here at these higher levels and demand could slow when you start to approach $4 might be what they're looking at. But two, on the other side that needs to be addressed, are we really rationing or slowing demand? Are we seeing these higher prices bring more grain on the market, especially from Asia? We've seen China become a seller here at these higher prices. They've been selling quite a bit of grain to South Korea and so forth. The idea is that they were holding back or keeping their selling shoes in the closet didn't really materialize. They've sort of taken advantage of this higher price or move to move some more cash grain into marketplace. But last week's highs and what we did Friday and last night today sort of suggest the market's consolidating, backing, and filling. Probably key price levels to watch is December corn futures up front here at this 340 area. And these January beans in this 560, 555 area. If we start to violate these levels, we could probably be in a position to have a little bit more of a major correction than just a minor one.
What are farmers most often asking you as they call in the last week and today? Are they saying, should I just go ahead and pull the trigger on cash sales? Are they asking you about possible ways to buy it back eventually? What are the questions that they're asking?
About every question you can think of. I tell you, everybody's in a different, completely different situation. You know, ranges in, why did I sell it too soon? And other extreme is, I've got everything plus some last year's, should I sell some of it? It widens very. But as a whole, I think producers have been a pretty good seller on this rally. They sort of scaled into it. Talking to some elevator managers, there's some ideas. They've bought up to 75-90% of the corn crop in some of these areas here. So they've taken advantage of the market here on this upswing. And we've been sort of promoting that idea to, you know, let some of this cash go as we go, then one can re-own it on paper as we might see another rally as we go into next spring, next summer.
And then we talked, I think it was 2 weeks ago, we talked about the potential in 2008 for the market to bottom out again. Have you given much more thought to that beyond the technical side where we were looking at Elliott waves and reasons that may or may not be able to happen?
Well, fundamentally, from a long-term perspective, if you know, you got to go with the idea we keep cash corn $3 plus, we're going to have a lot more corn acres. How much, you know, we're going to find out as we go into next spring for sure. Estimates are all over the place, anywhere from an additional 4 to 8 million acres being bought. I think it's going to hinge on the next 2 months where we are. But some of these guys are willing to shift heavily. Talking to one of the guys, extension guys there in Woodford County, they're talking to quite a few guys going 100% corn.
Mm-hmm.
So we're leaning that way, and it's just the law of economics. One extreme follows another, and I think with these higher prices, you're going to buy the corn acres. Then once these ethanol plants get in line, once that demand gets satisfied, who's going to buy it next? You know, it's really hard to really project way out because, you know, what's weather going to do? If we come in here next summer and have some type of drought situation, this thing just literally going to explode to higher levels than anybody ever imagined.
I got an interesting email, and I'll have to check as I drive around the countryside from a farmer who said that he was hedging his bets basically by making one pass across the field, across his corn stalks with a this fall. That meant he spent the fuel on it, but hadn't made a commitment one way or the other to whether he was going corn or soybeans. I assumed that usually he would be no-tilling his beans and that was just making preparations in case he decided he wanted to put corn back into those stocks. So that's one thing that we'll have to keep an eye on. What do you hear? What kinds of decisions have farmers made at all about next spring's planting, and are they hedging their bets in other ways? I mean, are there other options? That's one fiscal way that they might be able to pull this off. But are they talking about other ways that they can be able to make a choice about the time March, April comes around?
Well, they've gone down the path of more corn. We're looking at a very aggressive pace of anhydrous being applied here this fall. Even guys that sowed some wheat or, you know, see how this wheat greens up and talk about maybe disking up wheat and putting corn into the wheat possibly.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as hedging your bet, you know, you can very simply say, hey, you know, what do I want? And just lock it in and take it. Why be greedy? You know, here in central Illinois and Indiana, when you look at potential to produce 200 bushel the acre, if you can lock in $3, that's $600 an acre. That's just unheard of. You know, why risk it? But there's several things you do that's got some flexibility to it. One is, of course, the talk of the crop insurance. We'll have to see where the price is during the month of February, of course. Then we're going to have to, you know, look at maybe some put options. That's one way to put a floor under you to leave your upside open. Or lastly, too, just a good old-fashioned hedge, which might be kind of hard to hang on to if we get in some weather next summer. This plane heads the board, then wait for next fall for the basis to narrow.
What do you do with cash soybeans at this time?
Well, we're kind of a tight holder of beans in here. We feel that we're in a situation where if we gain the corn acres that we think is going to be at the expense of beans, so therefore we feel beans are going to be quite valuable as we go into next summer, especially we run into some weather concerns.
Anything that we ought to add on the livestock for the day?
Well, the livestock sector is the hog market on the charts. When you look at that, we consolidated, broke out to the downside, cash markets in a downhill slump here. Seasonally, we see the retailers shift to turkey as we get into Thanksgiving. Once we get into Thanksgiving, seasonal ham demand picks back up. So this hog market could be a roller coaster here. But the bottom line in the whole meat sector is the fear of $4 corn is probably going to put pressure on the meat sector this winter.
All right. We thank you much for joining us today.
Very good.
And that's Kurt Kimmel of Grainfield Marketing out of Normal, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report each and every Monday afternoon. A couple of special notes about the ag programming on WILL. The National Association of Farm Broadcasting Convention is this week in Kansas City. That starts on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and finishes up that evening. Dave Dickey and I will both be making the trip out to KC. That means that the staff here at WILL will be filling in for a large portion of our regular ag programming on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And we're going to try to do the Commodity Week program from Kansas City. Still working out a few details on that, but we're hopeful that we'll be able to pull that off. So that's something that you can put in your calendar, and you'll know where Dave and I are and why you're hearing the WILL staff on the air filling in for us. Great thanks, by the way, to all the staff here at WILL that will be filling in for both Dave and I, especially Jay Pierce and Tom Rogers, who will take over the bulk of the responsibilities for those 3 days.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Chip Jorstad in Morris at 815-941-3706. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
Taking a look now at the weather forecast from our own Ed Kieser. By the way, at the bottom of the hour, we'll talk with the folks at Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. Areas of dense fog will likely form tonight, says Ed, and they'll linger right into tomorrow morning. Tonight, mostly cloudy skies and areas of fog forming. Lows will range from 32 in northwestern Illinois to 39 in parts of northeastern Indiana and southwestern Illinois. Tomorrow, widespread areas of fog during the morning. Otherwise, mostly cloudy. Highs will range from 44 in northern Illinois to 58 in the far south. Tomorrow, wind speeds about 7 to 14 miles an hour. The extended forecast for the two-state region, widespread rain expected on Wednesday with rainfall expected to exceed an inch in some central and southern locations. Widespread showers of rain and wet snow will continue right on into Thursday, and it'll be windy on Wednesday and Thursday with gusts over 40 miles an hour. Dave Dickey's here now with the news.
In agricultural news, South Korea today says it's considering whether it should inspect all U.S. beef to address health concerns. The Ministry of Agriculture and Forestry's initial plan was to completely test the first 4 shipments from the U.S., but then afterwards do random testing of 5% of all U.S. beef imports. South Korea says 100% testing of U.S. beef will mean hiring more people and buying new equipment. Meanwhile, Japan today confirmed its 30th case of mad cow disease. The 5-year-old dairy cow will be incinerated. The Canadian government and the Canadian Trucking Alliance have officially informed the U.S. government they oppose new procedures for collecting agricultural inspection fees. Ron Lennox is vice president of the CTA Trade and Security. Lennox says the APHIS plan is flawed in that the fees apply to all trucks crossing into the U.S. from Canada, no matter what they're hauling.
The problem shouldn't be brought down and sorted out at the border. It's also fairly clear, even from the documents released by USDA, that you know, somewhere between 80 and 95% of trucks don't carry the products that are of interest to them. And yet the fee is going to apply to everyone. It doesn't matter whether it's a Canadian carrier, U.S. carrier, hauling auto parts or apples, the fee will apply.
U.S. Customs and Border Protection plans to put the new regulations in place on November 24th. The National Corn Growers Association is lobbying the lame duck session of Congress to pass the Water Resources Development Act, NCGA President Ken McCauley.
We're doing an advertisement on Capitol Hill. We're trying to accent the fact that this needs to be done. It's so close, and we need to make sure that we get this accomplished, because when the Congress changes, there's going to be new ideas, and they'll want to look at, you know, what's really important. We want to make sure they don't have to think about WERDA, and we'll have it passed and moving on to the next level.
WERDA would upgrade 7 locks and dams on the Upper Mississippi and Illinois rivers. The Senate passed the measure by voice vote in July. The House passed the bill a year ago, but the measure remains bottled up in conference committee. Congress returned to Washington today for the lame duck session. Tomorrow, Senate Democrats vote on who will chair its committees. House Democrats follow suit with leadership elections on Thursday. Congress must consider a continuing resolution this week. Friday, a similar spending measure expires that would leave most of government unfunded. The Buenos Aires Cereals Exchange says Argentina will plant a record 16.1 million hectares of soybeans this year. The exchange sees soy up 3% in Argentina due to almost 500,000 hectares being shifted from cattle pasture. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey, of course, your Director of Agricultural Programming here at the WILL radio stations. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week, reminding you to visit our website at willag.org. Well, up next, no-till is the most popular form of row crop production in the state of Illinois. And in 2006, farmers sowed more corn and soybeans into no-till than any other type of production method. A new survey from the Illinois Department of Agriculture holds some great news for soil conservation. For the first time ever, no-till has surpassed conventional tillage methods in the state. The T-Transix survey reports 33.1% of all Illinois corn, soybean, and small grain fields surveyed in 2006 were farmed using no-till practices. No-till leaves the soil virtually undisturbed from harvest through planting. The crop that pushed no-till into the number one production method is soybeans. 51% of the acres surveyed were planted to no-till beans. About 17% of the corn acres surveyed were no-tilled or strip-tilled, says Bob Frazee, University of Illinois Natural Resources Management Educator.
This is a dramatic growth and improvement. I can remember back in 1978, we only had 2% of our total cropland acres planted with no-till, and today, less than 30 years later, we now see that a third of the cropland acres in the state are now planted with no-till, and over half the soybeans are now being planted as no-till. So our farmers are continually making changes and improving their management with the use of new technology, seed, chemicals, and equipment.
The number one reason Illinois farmers have adopted no-till for soybean production is Roundup. Frazee says 90% of the 2006 soybean acres in the state were planted to glyphosate-resistant beans, and that makes it a lot easier for farmers to use no-till.
The Roundup program for herbicides really saves some valuable time and tillage trips, while at the same time provides excellent both grass and broadleaf weed control throughout the entire season. Second reason we're seeing more no-till soybeans is that the high diesel fuel prices that we've seen the last couple of years have really encouraged many producers to eliminate the deep ripping or chiseling of last year's corn stalks in the fall, as well as the secondary tillage trips that are needed in the springtime.
Roundup or not, Bob Frazee emphasizes that Illinois farmers are becoming really good stewards of their soil and water resources. He says they are increasingly concerned about soil erosion and water quality. No-till fields have been shown to reduce soil erosion by as much as 90% compared to conventionally tilled fields where no crop residue remains. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
The Carle Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety, a division of Carle Foundation Hospital, is proud to underwrite agricultural programming at WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-383-4606.
By the way, we'll hear tomorrow again from Bob Frazee. He says farmers can prepare this fall to go no-till next season. Joining us now for our look at the cash grain market is Greg Johnson of the Andersons right here in Champaign County. Good afternoon to you, Greg.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Tell me about cash grain movement over the last week at the Andersons.
It's been very slow. Farmers and traders alike, I think we're all waiting for the report on Thursday. So we ran the markets up going into Thursday's report, and now we've run them right back down again. But for the week, corn was basically up a penny and beans were down a penny. And today, I don't know if it was a conclusive trade or not, down a penny in corn and 5 cents in beans. It's certainly not encouraging, but as much as we've run up things in the past couple of months, it probably isn't the most unlikely thing to take a breather here and wait for something else to move this market.
I know we've asked this question before, but we've had some discussions with Daryl Good and others about just how much of the corn crop and soybean crop for that matter, but mostly the corn crop has been forward priced or cashed out in some form already. I think that you guys have told us you're about 70% of what you usually would by this time. Can you tell me a little bit more about where the Anderson stands in Champaign County?
Well, I would say 70 seems a little high. I guess I would say, you know, for the whole year, maybe half the crop is sold already, which is probably a little bit more than where we normally are this time of year.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to remember that the previous 7 or 8 years we've had sub $2 corn in the fall, and so when we had a chance to sell 240 and 250 corn this summer and the crop was still looking good, farmers took advantage of that, and as it turns out, obviously, that looks to be low. But I still maintain that selling corn when we were looking at sub-$2 corn prices, every chance was that we were going to have that again. Selling corn at those kind of levels was the right thing to do. It was the risk management thing to do. But as it turns out, obviously, the prices are higher. So we just caution people not to get caught up in the fact that, oh, my gosh, I sold a little bit too much ahead and I'll never do that again, because you can make the opposite mistake and not sell ahead at profitable levels. So I would say we're probably looking at half the crop sold, and the good news is they've got half of it left to sell at these higher prices.
And would you suggest at this point, at these higher prices, that they go ahead and scale into it or scale down to it, one of the two, given the last couple, 2 or 3 days? But how far along do you think they really ought to be? What kind of level?
Well, it's hard to. We can make money selling corn at these levels, and can it go higher? Yes. And do I think it's going to go higher? Yes. But you get to this risk management point of thing. You just have to take profits when they give them to you, and there's other ways to speculate that's not a one for one bet. In other words, if by not selling corn, yes, if it goes up a dime, you make a dime, but if it goes down a dime, you lose a dime. There's other ways to play that upside without a one for one risk. So yeah, I think they should be selling more and maybe have up to 2/3 sold. And then if they want to, protect themselves on that last third, then there's option strategies available to do that.
I was reading Chip Flory online on the Ag website, AgWeb website this morning. He had an interesting comment just as a reminder to farmers that as a bullish market goes up, it should, by nature, has to get less bullish simply because the price goes higher. I thought that was a word to the wise. What are your bids for the day?
Cash corn is $3.40. January corn $3.50, cash beans are $6.41, January $6.45, and cash wheat $4.32, next year's wheat $4.37.
We thank you much for joining us.
Thanks, Todd.
That's Greg Johnson of the Andersons, joins us from his office right here in Champaign County each and every Monday afternoon. In 2 minutes, we'll talk with the folks at Chesapeake Energy in Chicago about the agricultural weather. Your regional newscast comes up right now.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jim Meadows. The president of Parkland College is back at home after suffering a heart attack last week. A press release from the college says Robert Exley has follow-up visits to his doctor in 3 to 5 weeks. Doctors implanted a stent after Exley suffered a moderate heart attack during a charity basketball game last Wednesday. A delay in renovation work at the Illinois State House in Springfield is forcing the General Assembly to hold its veto session elsewhere this week. For the first time since the 1870s, the Illinois House will meet at the old state capitol, and the Illinois Senate will meet in makeshift quarters at the new Abraham Lincoln Presidential Library. Lawmakers predict a light agenda for the six-day veto session. An increase in the minimum wage and a freeze on electric rates are a couple of headline-grabbing issues that could pop up. Administrators at the University of Illinois are looking for ways to curb utility costs. The university has set up an energy task force to study ways to save on energy at all three of its campuses. Urbana-Champaign campus provost Linda Katehi co-chairs the task force. She says money saved on energy can be used for expanding programs and boosting faculty and staff salaries. Meanwhile, a separate committee has been set up to create a policy for curbing energy costs on the U of I's Urbana-Champaign campus. An agreement reached with Illinois, Iowa, and 13 other states means nearly two dozen household appliances will have to meet new federal guidelines. Under the deal, the Department of Energy will set new standards to increase energy efficiency in 22 appliances, such as air conditioners, dishwashers, and furnaces. The Indiana Catholic Conference says it will push the democratically controlled Indiana legislature to approve a school choice program during the next session. The program would use vouchers or other methods to allow parents to send their children to the school of their choice. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
I'm Todd Gleason, AM 580 Agriculture on WILL. On Monday afternoon, we'll talk with John Davis of Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois, about the agricultural weather forecast for the Midwest and around the globe. Good afternoon to you, John.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
Where's the trouble spot and around the globe that we really need to focus in on? Any place?
Well, there aren't many at the present time, but certainly the one that is most pertinent is in China, where their winter wheat crop is pretty much in the process of done being planted right now, but dryness has been a significant problem across their region much of this fall season, and that continues to be the case as we go through this middle portion of November. So from a worldwide standpoint, that is probably number one on the problematic list right now.
Speaking of dry areas, maybe you should go back to Australia. I know that wheat crop's a done deal, probably harvested what left, what all they had of it anyway. But tell me where they are at this point.
Yeah, that was number one on the list for many, many months until about a month ago. But of course, now that's a done deal for winter wheat. Now the crop, of course, is being harvested, or should we say what's left of the crop is being harvested, and that process will continue into the early portion of December. Of course, they're getting relatively dry weather kind of continuing right now, so certainly no problems with harvest activity of the winter wheat crop there.
And check in while we're on the wheat subject. Check in with the Great Plains states and the soft red winter wheat in the far eastern Corn Belt.
In general, relatively good conditions across most areas. In the plains, we continue to have a few pockets of dryness, but they are pockets of dryness. One of them so happens to be in the northern portion of Oklahoma. They do have a chance of getting some precipitation over the next couple of days, and so that little dry pocket may shrink somewhat here during the middle portion of this week. But from a general standpoint, most areas are in good shape, and most areas have been pretty well established as we go toward winter.
Coming to the down to the final stretch as we hop around the globe, South America.
There are no problems to talk about with down there. They've had a fabulous start to their growing season. All areas are in very good shape right now, and they really have the perfect combination of enough rain to keep moisture levels quite good, but not too much to delay planting activity or fieldwork operation. So they are in extremely good shape, both in Brazil and Argentina.
John, it's always a pleasure to talk to you.
Okay, Todd.
John Davis of Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois, joining us from his office on this Monday afternoon. And that is this edition of the Closing Market Report. Remember to tune in tomorrow morning at 8:49 for our first look at the markets on the pre-opening market report with your Director of Agricultural Programming, Dave Dickey. And that if you'd like to hear any of the programming that took place today in the terms of ag programming on the radio station, you can get most of it on our website at WILLAG.org, WILLAG.org. There you can sign up for our weekend newsletter. Just hit subscribe. And our podcast, it's all available at WILLAG.org. Have a great afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.